What's going on, Bombad fam? Here we are talking about the greatest show ever made. Jesus. Hi, Jerry.
The greatest story ever told.
I love when he gets this voice. This happens more frequently than we would like to. It's the best voice in the world. Listen to that.
I don't know why God chose me. Okay?
I like that your camera's flipped too. It's kind of strange. Look at this.
It is.
Yeah, it's the other way.
Oh my God. It is. I don't know what it is. Listen. Listen. New voice, new camera, new me. It's fine.
New year. Jerry, what a wild episode we got this morning. By the way, welcome to the Vertical live stream. If you haven't yet, we're doing this every Wednesday to cover the Bad Batch. Yes, the Solitary Clones, the episode we're covering today. But every Wednesday at 7:15 for about 30 minutes, we're going to do our coverage of this. And at the end of the whole season, we'll end up covering the full thing. But if you haven't yet, please, by all means, follow us on our social pages. We're doing this on all these different platforms for a reason. So we're excited to have new people come and hang out. And if you can, if you haven't yet, help us get to 1,000 followers on TikTok. We want to go live on TikTok as well as Instagram and Facebook and all the other sites we're going live to in this different vertical format. But all that being said, Jerry's playing glass bells. So I'm happy to have him, you know, practicing his new instrument right now. It's very good. Pretty good. I like it, Jerry. How are you doing, bud? You doing okay?
Oh, excellent. Yeah, I come with accessories tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I listen, I'm a little look here you go. Here's my accessory.
Look at that. Boom. Full shot. Official. Look at this. You can get it at tpublic.com, I think.
Yes. This is very hot. The mug is stylistically hot. The tea within it. Very nice. Very hot.
Look at Michael. I haven't seen Michael in the chat in a minute. He said, this batch wasn't so bad, in my humble opinion. I agree. It really wasn't. It was pretty spectacular. And Michael hasn't been liking the Bad Batch. He hasn't been liking the Bad Batch. I've been really enjoying it. Last week. I know this morning, I'm not going to lie, I didn't wake up early to watch this one. I got to school, and I had exactly 30 minutes from when I sat down at my desk before I had to go grab the kids after morning assembly. I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, I have 30 minutes. I can watch this. Okay, I can watch this. So I put it on my phone. I sat at my desk and I watched it like in complete quiet on my phone. And I usually don't like watching these on my phone. I usually like watching them on the TV. But it hit It hit very well. Jerry, how was your viewing experience? Were you excited? What were you feeling?
Well, I mean, I was excited to wake up. Again, I get up at 3 a.m. on drop day.
Yeah,
you know, Wednesdays. You know, I get up. I smoke about 5 packs of cigarettes.
I can tell.
I eat about a small flower pot's worth of gravel, and then I make a cup of coffee and I watch Bad Batch and Willow.
Bad Batch.
Bad Batch. We had a couple episodes last week. You know, I got up and I was excited to see what this one was about. You know, I was like, okay, I got this one. Like, Bad Batch was the first one I went to. Yeah. I'm excited to see what we got here. The Solitary Clone. What's this about? And immediately you're kind of just like, oh, okay, we are catching up with the Bad Batch's fortunate son. Right. like you could just hear that song playing through this whole episode.
Yeah.
Like it's insane. And I was just for getting up and watching this stuff so early in the morning, it still affects me so it's I don't know. It's almost like the world is still and I can focus. Mm-hmm. On what I'm watching.
Well, this one in particular had a very different feel to it. It had a very concentrated, direct feel. It wasn't as as chaotic as the last one was, which that's why I like the Bad Batch. I like the chaos. I like the family friendly feel that it has. But still, yet again, this one it managed to hit story beats that I wasn't expecting, and the part where my stomach and my chest was like, oh. was the part where, and I'm not even joking, whenever they talk about where him and Crosshair and Cody are talking about their, you know, Order 66. And the face he makes. Oh,
just watch that part. I've got it running right here. Yeah, it's
nuance.
They've got two great interactions in front of that war memorial. What is that, like, the names of that?
Yes,
are those the names of fallen clones, right?
Oh, I didn't know that. Maybe it is.
I'm trying to remember exactly what that is. I know it's like it's a war memorial.
Okay.
So, what's up? What's up, Sile?
Sile.
Kyle Sile.
I like it either way. Glad to see you here, bud. Thank you for coming by. But yeah, no, I agree. Like, and Troy, my cousin, Elder Puck 27, said this was kind of dark fam, Star Wars mode. And I agree, but I still didn't leave it feeling pushed down. You know, I left it kind of like, man, at least Cody got out of there. At least Cody learned from his mistakes. At least, you know, he grew up from what he was doing. Oh, man.
It's so there's a moment, just if we can go back real quick to what you were talking about when they're talking in front of the memorial.
Yes.
About Order 66. I think it's Crosshair, if I remember, who said that they betrayed us like the Jedi did or something.
Yes.
The
clones that went AWOL, like Rex.
The clones that went AWOL. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whenever he mentions the Jedi, there is a subtle look that Cody gives that is...
Perfect. As an animator, I don't know how
Cody
has
been. Oh, Cody is the one that we've seen since the beginning. He's the first clone in history of Star Wars in this franchise. He's the first one we see get the order.
Yep.
Back all the way in 2005 when I was watching this with my buddy in the theater.
As a kid.
Yep. Obi-Wan's clone commander. You know, it will be done, my lord. And he just immediately turns and goes, blast him.
Thank you know,
and at the time, you're like wondering, like, whoa, they were turning against him the whole time. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
But just to have that subtle look, like, do you think, like, I want to get into the meat of that. And I'm hoping that I'm thinking we'll get more Cody this season because he's on the poster, but you can never tell.
No, you
never really can tell. He may not come back this season. He may come back later in another season.
Yeah.
I kind of think.
Thanks, Nick.
Here's my prediction. Here's my Canon Junkie prediction.
Here we go.
We have February 8th. We have two episodes coming out in one day.
That's right.
And it is the Clone Conspiracy. And what is the second episode name? I'm trying to remember that title name. A Star Wars release schedule.
Yeah, I have them all already.
It's a Clone Conspiracy. The first one is called A Clone Conspiracy. Mm-hmm. And then the second one, Truth and Consequence, I think.
That's it. Yeah.
I think that's when we'll see Cody come back and kind of get involved
with
Rex. I think we'll see him get involved with Rex and the Bad Batch.
That's fair.
Be like, what? Like, maybe it's him learning about, like, what? And more clones. Maybe we're going to see more clones kind of mounting in that.
I hope so, because
kind of an uprising of clones is what it seems like we're building towards, which is really cool and exciting.
That would be amazing, like a real revolt. And the part I really liked most,
hi, Nick,
was Rampart, because he didn't look up from his iPad or whatever it was the whole
time. Whenever he said Commander Cody, when he said Commander Cody, he goes, huh? He goes CT22224.
Yep. I wish I could.
Or 2224.
Do I have anything? I don't even have a book over here. Yes, I do. Literally.
Yeah, you're like simulate. Like, simulate, please.
He was like, oh, you need to go do this. And he's like, yeah, I demoted you, by the way. You have to go.
Oh, by the way, you're not ready to go. Yeah.
Yeah. And the fact that Crosshair kind of fact checked him too. Crosshair's like,
yeah,
which one? You know, I love that energy. Yeah, he is becoming a great bad guy. Very
he's a great villain.
Very, I agree, Nick. Thank you for saying that, because I've been thinking that the whole time. Like, they changed him this season from what he was last season, which he wasn't bad, but this one he's just like amped up.
Well, he was just non-existent. You could see that this guy, he's the one in charge of War Mantle, which now we know is the passing of the War Mantle, like passing of the torch from the clones
Yes.
To troopers, which it was really cool to see the troopers and the clones kind of interacting in this, you know. Mm-hmm. They kind of had to send the clones in to save the troopers.
Yes.
And everything in this one, which was neat. Well,
one thing I will say too, I love the fact that the whole episode was set in like a constant sunsetting planet. I love the way it looked. It looked very eerie. It looked like, and I kept saying on Twitter, looked like a Macquarie painting. The whole episode looked like a Macquarie painting.
Oh yeah.
It was very cinematic. The way it was shot was really different. Some of the best parts were, you know, obviously Crosshair against the actual droid tank. Oh my god. I mean, that was amazing. Oh dude, when
the shot went down the actual barrel.
I blew it up. I'm like, that's boom, boom.
That was so cool.
So George, the sound editing silent. It went silent and then it exploded. Oh my god. It was so brilliant. This planet, it was savage. Yes.
The separatist planet is called Desix.
Okay.
It's Desix. And Desix. I loved the design where it's like this kind of castle, like fortress where they live. And they're farming something or doing something, working together. It seems very, I thought that was, it was a really cool design.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, you've got the, first of all, you got the mother and the child out there that we see throughout the entire episode.
Oh,
the beat of the mother giving a drink to the child, the Empire showing up. And then let's all get in there to when they see, I think they see the clones come and they peek out of their door. They go back in. At the end, you see them having to get out of their own house and let stormtroopers go in.
Exactly. Oh, man, it's brutal.
This whole, and there's a shot right here that's breathtaking that just popped up towards the end after they kind of like everything's resolved. They, you know, they have the shot of the Star Destroyer, the Clone Wars era Star Destroyer above the city.
And yes.
Kind of off to the side and sunset.
Good parallel.
That is a very, very Macquarie. And then here, like, you've got the stormtroopers watching the citizens, like, pack stuff up and work.
So one part I really liked, too, was the fact that, like, the whole setup of the episode, not saying it was predictable, but you could see the layout of where it was going. And I like shows that kind of give you the hint as to how this episode is going to fall together or even fall apart. Like, I really enjoyed how they set up, obviously, a lot of the stuff that, you know, was paid off later. Where, like, the commander's up there, you know, watching them. And it's just Cody and it's Crosshair and then two other troopers that are just going up there and, you know, shooting
something in Nova. I can't remember what. Yeah.
Look at this. Click Kyle's here. Sile. DJ Man. What's going on, DJ Man?
Hey, DJ Man.
Sile P. Kyle P, maybe. But I'm watching this episode and the entire time I'm like, the drama of this episode, the feeling of this episode felt very much like Revenge of the Sith. It felt very tactical. It felt very, it felt like a tight episode. I don't know. The story implications were really big. And of course, they make it all the way to the very top of this citadel or whatever it is. And at the very top, the best part was when Crosshair did the little mirror trick, the laser mirror trick again. And they're like,
I love those. They called it a puck, too. How far do I need to throw the puck? Those things are so cool. I love when Crosshair uses those things.
God.
And then he's like, throw it as far as he can. And he like, boom, 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 gets the droid. So I don't know if you had this feeling the whole episode. I didn't know who to cheer for a lot.
Well, the battle droids were great too. And then the former separatist was very honorable, very understandable.
Well,
we don't want you here.
She was protecting her people. We find out she's a friend of Nina Bonteri, who was a friend of Padme.
Yes!
This could have been
such good canon.
And again, spoilers for this whole thing. And hopefully, if you're watching this, I mean, we spoiled the whole thing already.
Yeah.
But they kill her. And, you know, it's she could have been a leader in the rebellion.
Exactly.
Had she lived to it. It's these people. She's like, what is she saying? I'm protecting my people from a hostile takeover, from an invasion, from an occupation.
God.
And just for one thing, the design of it, I don't know if there's something with the atmosphere of this planet where they have to wear like those breather masks or something.
Yeah, I love that.
That was very cool. Cause in the trailer, you think that she's like a bounty hunter.
Yes.
You find she's the governor. It's just this planet is really neat. Desix is really cool.
It is.
And it's really sad because now it's, again, the Empire has its grip around it. And again, you may not like, you may call the Bad Batch boring. You may not like the Bad Batch. I don't know. Like, it's too slow. But this is what it's, this is what it is. It is the Empire wrapping its fingers around everything slowly and surely, taking, and it's like, it's people who are now in it, the people who went with it at the beginning, finding out, like Cody, shit.
Yeah.
What, like, what is he, the exchange they have at the memorial, the second exchange. He's like, are we really, is this Empire really doing any good?
Oh, or something God, like that? It's awesome.
And then he's got the other line, the, was like, I think it's to Crosshair. Crosshair's reaction to that is, we're soldiers, we do what we're supposed to. We do what we're told to. Yep. And he goes, we're, you know, we're different than droids.
I want to say a few things. My favorite, one of my favorite parts of the entire episode was the fact that Cody, and I see it right here, Brian brought it up, good friend of the show and patron Brian Finnessy, said Cody believes in de-escalation, and that's why I like it. He's like, look, I can guarantee you, I'm putting my blaster down.
He took his helmet off.
Yeah.
Put it down. Oh.
Yeah. Very Obi-Wan. Extremely Obi-Wan. Very negotiator.
The negotiator.
Right? Yeah.
The
very negotiator.
I sound like General Grievous. Or the negotiator.
It's General Michael, General Michael McCoy right there in front of us. General McCoy.
Oh, my God.
So I'm watching this episode and I'm like, you know, I knew they were going to go far with it, and I knew the feeling in this episode was going to be different, obviously, based off the entire thing. But like I said it last week, I really, really thought Andor was great. I enjoyed it. But this episode kind of encapsulates the whole entire tone of Andor, but just in this one little bubble of an episode.
I was thinking that it's
a good companion. It's like a wine and a cheese for Andor. I mean, it's got something to it. There's something to it.
So,
kids will watch this
thinking about
and think about this, which is kind of nice. Kids that are going to watch this are going to go, what is this? This is interesting. How do I feel about this?
What I love, and we've been talking about how we've kind of been enjoying Bad Batch more than Andor ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
This episode was very different than Andor. This is like, again, this is, we're kind of like back to the Star Wars formula.
Yes.
But it very much was, I think, tempered by what Andor brought before it. It very much like it. And again, it's all Star Wars going forward is going to be tempered by that.
Of course,
I think this entire season of Bad Batch is going to be tempered by what we've seen in Andor. And of course, this is before. This is the escalation too.
This is what's the buildup is. Yeah.
This is the buildup. We're not to that level in Andor where people are fed up. Some people are, but we're not getting to that level yet.
Mm-hmm.
This is why, and I me and you and other people get a lot of shit, I think, for being said, you guys just like everything, the Star Wars.
Yeah.
As well, it is an interesting world.
Mm-hmm.
Where every to me, and I think you're the same, every single piece of content we get, every single building is a building block that builds on the last.
Well, it's another layer. It's like all
it's a glass onion, if you will, where you can see the center, except it's not stupid. That's a bad analogy. But it keeps building and building and building, and it just it influences. It's influenced by itself at this point. It's like a self-sustaining ecosystem.
Yeah.
But in the best way possible. Listen, it's not golf pencils. It's not. They weren't sharpened. Actually,
they're sharp now.
No.
They're dull.
I smoked a carton of menthols before this.
But I mean, we only got about 9 minutes left to keep talking about this show. But here I am, you know, watching this in the early morning, and I still felt a little rejuvenated knowing that Cody got away. and that Crosshair is just digging himself a deeper hole. And the part where he even, like, Crosshair even questions Rampart was the part where I'm like, yes, like, this is what we need. Now,
Boy's about to get tired of it, man.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you.
Kevin Kiner music on this episode was off the charts. Probably one of the best episodes of the Kiner brother music. I mean, it was so damn good. I'm not joking. I was blown away.
Kiner gets it. God. I mean, and look, I love all the other scores we've gotten, but Kiner just, there's something about Kiner. Kiner gets DNA. He knows how to inject pieces of other 100% music from the past without making it feel cheap. Yes. Right? He uses it perfectly. But anyway, go on, please.
So
please.
what I was going to say was the Revenge of the Sith moment where it's very silent and you see the clones are seeing themselves get phased out. They send the clones to doing the dirty work, right? A lot of them get killed. A lot of them get killed except for Cody and Crosshair. And the TK troopers are the ones that have to do the patrolling. They have to do the easy work. And I'm like, this is brutal.
Right.
Because it's shot so quietly. The music is very quiet. The moment is very somber. And I'm watching this thinking to myself, wow, they're like really pulling a George here. They're showing and not telling.
Oh,
they are. It's very much. So, and like they're even doing the classic, you know, walk from the left side, leave out the right side. Because that was the shot. The shot started on the left. And they visually, like, you're walking out a door, walking stage, you know, stage right. I mean, you're leaving. I mean, that's very symbolic storytelling. I mean, we even have this idea of, you know, and this is how George shot it, that the enemy runs. I think when you watch most war movies, the enemy comes from. So if you're watching this screen, that's kind of hard to convey it. But I'll do stage left and stage right. The enemy in a moving picture usually comes in from the right side, right? And then leaves, and then the attacking, or I guess the good guys, come in from the left side. If you watch Attack of the Clones, it's reversed. The Separatists are coming on the left side, and the enemy, the clones, are coming in on the right side. It's just how you visually tell that story.
Yeah.
So, like, if you watch, let's say, for example, Lord of the Rings, every time it's in Lord of the Rings, usually the good guys are on the left, the bad guys are on the right, because that's just how... That's how you visually tell it. But it's cool to see that the TK troopers, you know, are being the ones phased in from the left, and then the other old clones are phasing out from the right. It's a literal visual transition of you are gone and you are in. And it's like you're sitting there, and as a viewer, you're really just taking in all the art that they're actually conveying so well with this.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, like I said, it was very dialogue-less. A lot of the dialogue did not need to be said. It's like a Mando episode. A lot of kind of just remarks, no huge. The only two parts about dialogue we're talking about this whole episode between you and me were the negotiation. Yeah. It was the memorial scene and then him and Rampart. That's the only scenes with dialogue. And the part with Crosshair waking up in a cold room, or he's laying in bed in a cold, empty room.
It's a lot like it had the feel of
Through Imperial Eyes. Yes, through Imperial Eyes.
Callous to me.
One of the best Rebels episodes.
I don't know if he's gonna switch over this season, because I think it's interesting to keep him with the Empire.
I agree,
but
more potential for stories.
I've got the actual line that Cody says to him.
Oh yeah, here. What is it?
So he says, you know, this new Empire, are we really making a difference or making things better? And he says, we're soldiers. Yeah. We do what needs to be done. He says, well, you know what makes us different from battle droids? hold on. We make our own decisions, our own choices, and then we have to live with them. Or we have to live with them too.
God.
That was the line that really just like resonated with me this morning.
Yeah.
Because we've heard that before. We're different than droids. We can make, we can think and create, we make our own choices. We heard that Rex said that, I'm pretty sure, in the Clone Wars a couple times. Like, we're not droids. We're different than droids. We're programmed for battle, but we're different than droids. It's just like, no, we make our own decisions, our own choices, and we have to live with them too.
You know what's funny?
That is a man. That is a man who is regretting and wondering how he killed his best friend.
That is what I was about to say. Word for word was the interesting thing about this show is that we watch Cody go through a full arc. We watch Crosshair go through a small arc. And I think for me and you personally, and I really say this because of what we like in terms of Star Wars, I think you and I are bigger fans of a single story in one episode. I genuinely do. All of Mando, there's never a part two of Mando or a part one of – it's always a single story that has somewhat of a change from beginning to end. And, like, maybe that's why Bad Batch didn't work for me on a deeper level like it did other people, because I don't like spending an hour and a half –
Andor or Bad Batch?
Sorry, Andor. That's why Andor
didn't
work
for me. I want to catch you, King.
I know. It was pretty much 2 hours and 10 minutes – you know, every arc. And it was like, build, amazing payoff. And then a big jump down because some shit happens at the end. Whereas this show, it's very much complete. They start off with a simple premise. It follows all the way through and it's done. I think that's why I've been enjoying this more. I feel like I get to watch and, you know, I can reflect after watching a show like this. I can literally think about it all day. Like, you know, who is making the right choice? You know, Crosshair's in the wrong, but he also has been bred to do this entire life. And like, it's just, I don't know.
Well, it's like like I said, it's hard to like this episode. You're like, oh yeah, go get him. And then it's like, excuse me.
Bless
you. Thank you. you know, it's like, hey, let's, you know, you're cheering for the clones.
Yes.
Because Cody's with them.
Yes.
And Crosshair is pretty badass still.
Yes.
And those pucks are cool. You're almost cheering for the battle droids. Because you're like, no, because these are bad guys that, like, they're going to save.
Yeah.
And you find that out when you get there. But just, like this really is making you kind of – it gives you a lot to chew on what – we've seen in our real-life world, you know, like, what it looks like for, like, tyranny to start to rise up.
Oh yeah, 100%.
You know, it's very subtle at first, but then it just like it just gets more and more. It speeds up on decline. Mm-hmm. It just declines quickly.
Yeah,
and I just think there's so much to, like, again, like this whole, like, you know, making your choices. Yeah, we make choices.
Yeah,
we have to live with them too.
Yeah,
and it just had like such deep themes and everything, and Nick talking about the evolution of the animation style.
Yeah.
The animation in this, like, honestly, when they first pulled up, when that first shot of all of the townspeople or the citizens, right? It felt like talking about Star Wars content building on each other. It felt Tales of the Jedi, because Tales of the Jedi is the same exact style, right?
It looked good. It felt good. Yeah.
But what I loved about Tales of the Jedi is it had that moral, like, let's wrestle with morality. Mm-hmm. And that's what this is doing. Bad Batch is saying, listen, we're going to wrestle with morality this season. Mm-hmm. What is it? Is it right to fight? When is the time to fight?
Yes.
When is the time to run away? When is the time? Like, when you realize too late that you're a part of something terrible, is it too late to leave?
Mm-hmm. Well, one part
is anytime too late.
This is the thing. And I want to bring up Nick's comment for this reason alone. He said Crosshair started out without the armor when he goes to eat, and he ends up wearing it because he goes to eat. He's being galvanized. I agree. Part of that obviously is a visual thing, but when you look at it, the very first time they meet Omega is when they're eating, you know, a meal with her. Like, sharing a meal in Star Wars does not happen often. Every time it does, it has implications of something. To see him eat by himself was a very profound thing, because he's got no one, right? He's got none of his clone brothers want to sit with him. He's still the odd one out. He's still weird and creepy. He will always be weird and creepy, unfortunately.
Well, like, got those. He sits by those two, and they just get up and move over a table. Yep.
Yes.
I mean, he is isolated. He's just completely isolated from anyone.
He is. We have to wrap because I have to do Bombad Gaming in the next 8 minutes or so. Any last thoughts? Anything you want to bring up before? Because we can always go back and discuss these episodes in more detail if y'all like us to. I love this episode. I will say it is in the top five for Star Wars animation. And I mean, like, it is top five Star Wars animation. It is probably top 10 Star Wars TV. Like, I mean that. It, or even Star Wars in general.
It's up there.
I was blown away. I mean, I really was. Through and through. I mean,
Michael Modello McBoy, who loathes the Bad Batch. I mean, the man talks about how much he wants to, you know, I mean, burn this entire series to the ground. Yes. I'm just kidding. He doesn't say that.
He doesn't like it, though.
We hyped it up. He went and watched it and was like, wow, that's a damn good episode.
Yes.
This is a very transcendent episode of television. You don't even have to watch Bad Batch. You can go out because if you vaguely know, you don't even have to know who Crosshair is.
No.
You just have to know that he's a clone who feels betrayed. You've got Cody.
And you can get that vibe when you watch it. You can watch it from the beginning and get that vibe.
You honestly could watch this. You could pull this out and not watch any of the rest of it.
Yep.
And just having a tertiary knowledge of the movies, you would be enthralled.
Yep. I agree. It was a special experience for me to watch it. And all that being said, we got to say,
you can pull it up. That's true.
Yeah, you're right. If you haven't yet, actually follow us on our social sites, the Bomb Badcast. We're streaming to every one of them but TikTok, because TikTok requires 1,000 followers, and we're at like 340 right now. We're getting close. Guys, we're doing better than we were before. We're 40 followers more than we were 2 weeks ago. So
that's
please,
awesome. Thank you.
That's great. Yes.
Thank you, guys.
As you can tell, every Wednesday at 7:15 Central. So we're going to be here hanging out. I'm going to be hearing a chat. Jerry, how are you? You got anything? What we got tomorrow, Jerry? What's going on tomorrow?
Oh, tomorrow, Scotty is letting Joe come onto the camera. Actually, he's going to, you know, he's going to put the maid outfit aside.
Yes.
You know, the feather duster. He's going to set him aside and he's going to, you know, he's going to put on people clothes and he's going to come on here and he's going to be with me and Scotty. And we're gonna have a good time. We're gonna have a good, wholesome, very sexually charged time.
We'll see.
With Joe Organa. Yes, yes, it's Joe Organa. It's gonna be fantastic.
Yep.
But yeah, no. Come here tomorrow night, live Thursday at 7.
That's right.
I'm not used to my camera being switched around because I was.
It's weird. I know.
I don't know what I pushed, but I didn't push anything. But anyway, here we go. Thursday at 8 p.m. Central.
That's right.
Come see us tomorrow.
We're looking forward to it.
Go to our TeePublic shop and
get a mug.
Get a mug.
Anyway,
get anything you want.
Everyone stay bomb bad. Here's a little clip of Jared to play us out. We'll see you next week for more Bad Batch and tomorrow for Jorgana and actually in 10 minutes for Bomb Bad Gaming. So see you there. I know. Making content.